Welcome back to Compliments to the Chef. I'm your host, Nancy.
And I'm your host, Bits.
And for this week's second helping, we have an incredible guest with us, none other than season 22 chef testant Henry Liu on the pod. Woo! Stick around. We're going to do a quick discussion of Last Chance Kitchen, and then we'll get you straight to our interview with Henry. So buckle up. Bits, Last Chance Kitchen. Paula comes in. Who's standing there? Katiana. Commence.
Scene opens with, Tom gave like Paula some shit. Why are you so excited?
I'm excited to be here.
Oh, really? Why? It's like, okay, relax. Like, she's obviously excited that she didn't get eliminated. That's why she is excited. What to say? I mean, Katiana's an absolute beast. I think she's going to be kind of an unstoppable force right up to the end. And I think really what it's going to come down to is, you know, the end of season finale of Last Chance Kitchen, if we just got the mid-season finale, I think that is going to be what it takes to knock her off because she's just locked in.
I'm thinking about the chefs that are coming down the pike from the main season, the main cast. And, like, I see Katiana, like, hurtling over a lot of these people pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So
especially once you get the sort of, like, body memory of just winning in that way and cooking in that way. And I think that did Bailey quite a service as well.
Yup. So to rewind, Tom is recreating, like, grandma chic. By saying, like, make a dish that inspires nostalgia, and then in honor of Paula, it has to have a sauce. So the two dishes that we get, we have Katiana making a scallop dish with a potato puree and, like, a sort of soy ginger sauce with a lot of greens, snap peas, and all these things. She said reminds her of her grandma, who told her to embrace her Asian roots. She's adopted. She was adopted into a white family in upstate New York, so she tried to combine those two things. Paula makes a lobster prepared in a traditional Ecuadorian style with, like, a coconut sauce. And honestly, both of these looked really good.
I know. I want some lobster. It's like summer. I want lobster.
Visually, Paula's really appealed to me more than Katiana's. Katiana's was very beige looking. Mm-hmm. And it just, like, there's something about Katiana's dish that really didn't call to me. But even though I'm not a huge lobster person, I really wanted to try Paula's dish.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was, like, the herbs and stuff in there just looked yummy.
Yeah, it was beautiful. The lobster looked incredible. And then you got a little succotash.
Actually, that's the one thing I don't care about. I do not like succotash.
I don't like it either.
I've never met a succotash I like.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry if you thought that.
I'll try it. I'll always eat a succotash. The individual ingredients I enjoy, but I just think that they're underwhelming.
I don't think I need it altogether. Yeah, it didn't need to get its own name, you know? Like, if these things mix, like, so be it. But did it need its own name? Like, is it that good? I don't think so.
I don't think so, honey. Oh, sorry. Shouldn't have said it. Another pods brand. We love you. You are inspirations. So Katiana takes the win. Mm-hmm. We hear that Paula's lobster was a bit undercooked. But other than that, it was a delicious dish. And Katiana is the reigning champ of Last Chance Kitchen. So without further ado, enjoy our interview with Henry Liu. I rhymed.
Woo.
Woo. Another rhyme. Okay. Welcome back to Compliments to the Chef. I'm your host, Nancy.
And I'm your host, Bits.
And on this very special second helping, we have yet another incredible cast member of the season 22 cast of Top Chef. So joining us today, we have Bronx native, ever heard of it, one of the five boroughs, former sous chef at Pearl and Ash in New York City, which received 2 stars from the New York Times. Also former chef at Llama Inn, Bits' favorite restaurant of 2024, also received 2 stars from the New York Times. He was the executive chef at 4 Happy Men Hospitality Group, and now he lives in Houston and works with Top Chef alum and fan favorite Evelyn Garcia at June and By Kin. Welcome to the pod, Henry Liu.
Thank you, guys. No, excited to do this with you guys.
We are so happy to have you. You should know that you are on our fantasy team this season for Top Chef.
So
our fates are linked, and we are so excited to finally talk to you.
I know. I saw that. I was like, oh, God.
No. What did we just, no, you served just us berated well. You.
You served How us could well. You?
No, I was hanging in there. Hanging in there for dear life.
I'm going to let Bits jump right in with, we just want to talk and learn about you and talk about what you're doing since being on the show.
Yes. Yep. So obviously, knowing Evelyn, you knew a little bit about Top Chef. How like gung-ho were you on the idea of Top Chef? Like, did it excite you? Were you like, oh man, I don't know, maybe?
I wouldn't say it took a lot of convincing. I mean, throughout the years, they've reached out to me in the past before, and I'm just like, it's not my thing. I was like, I can't. I was like, I've never competed in my life before, you know? I was like, and I was just so focused. I worked for a lot of like small restaurant groups. So it's also hard for me to just like, oh, let me just step away, you know, for a period of time. And then like one friend went on it, and then another friend went on it, and then Evelyn went on it, and then how to do it? Like, you're good. And I was like, I am good, but God damn, I was like, I don't know. And then finally, she told me, she threw my name in already. And then I, for some reason, one day just woke up and I told her, I was like, you know what? I was like, let's do it. And she goes, great, because I already threw your name in there.
That is a good friend right there, just giving you the push.
Oh, she just, that you literally need. Just walked in right now, too.
Love that. Hey, honestly, Evelyn. Sometimes doing the paperwork is the hardest part. Like, just do that for me and I'm game. That's amazing. So talk to us a bit about the competition aspect. Like, did you find, you know, cooking, it sounds like you're coming at us during like a very stressful time IRL. We obviously have never worked in the kitchen before. We've never been on a cooking competition before. How do all of these things like stack up in terms of like unique types of stress / excitement?
Well, here, I mean, I'm in full control of everything, you know. It's just like, I have my team, I have my environment. Like, this is a comfort zone. So we're getting like destroyed by how many people just walk through the door right now. Like, it's a great adrenaline rush, you know? I was like, you know, I have the support of everyone around me and everything. But on the competition, you have you, your thoughts, and nothing else. You know, I was like, and then they throw you in these environments that like you have no control over. You know, a lot of times we walk into something seeing everything for the first time, you know, I was like seeing the kitchen for the first time, seeing that they don't have certain things for the first time, or like what works, what doesn't work and stuff like that. And then you're just like, well, you know, here it's like, all right, who do I need to call to get something fixed, or we're just not going to do it. But that's not an option on Top Chef. It's like, you have one day, you got to do it.
And you have the added, like, you know, obviously there's collaboration in the kitchen in real life. There's clearly collaboration. This has been a very team heavy, like partner heavy season of Top Chef. How do you like approach that? How do you show up differently? How does collaboration look different on Top Chef than it does IRL?
You know, I realize that I don't like collaborations on Top Chef.
I wouldn't recommend.
Here in real life, it's like, you know, you have, you could do it again. You know, and that whole thought, like, oh, I could do it again. You know, it's not a big deal. We put it up, we could do it again. You know, in Top Chef, it's like, especially with the team challenges and everything, and people are helping you play, I was like, they don't have the same palette or eye as you or anything. And so it's like, they might have done something that you might have done differently, but you also still need the help. You know, it's like, and like, it's hard to, I think we were very fortunate where like, we were really, we all liked each other, you know, I was like, which is wild. Like, I didn't
think it comes through too. Like, it's not, you can tell you guys aren't like, it's genuine. Yeah. It definitely comes across.
I mean, I was a bitch, but I was like, we also love each other. You know, we poked fun at each other. I was like, and it was all for the good spirit at all. You know, I was like, we helped each other out. I remember there was some times when like someone needed something for my bin. I'm going to just go in there. I was like, I'm not using it. Right. You know, it's like, it's not a big deal.
It's so,
I was
nice.
Like, yeah, it's not going to make or break me. You know, I was like, if anything, I want to compete with you at your best, you know, and if you need something, then go for it. I was like, so like, especially with team challenges. So like, it was on the show, it's like, you have to rely on someone that you just met, you know, like at this point, like we've only known each other for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you know, it's like, and so it's like, how do I convey what I need to someone? Whereas in real life, you know, I've worked with these people for years. We're doing these collaborative dinners with people that I've known for years or worked with before and stuff like that. And so,
well, it's interesting you mentioned your bin. Your bin actually featured in a way that we don't typically see, like, the bins featured in the main run of show. What was the craziest thing you brought in your bin that you didn't get to use, or maybe that you did get to use?
I had a huge can of oyster sauce, like a large A10 can of oyster sauce. And I'm like, in what world did I ever think I need this amount of oyster sauce in my goddamn life? You know, we were going to Canada and like, I love Whole Foods, you know, like I shop at Whole Foods and everything, but it's like, there's just certain things I knew I couldn't get in Canada. And I was like, and like, I grew up eating like the Panda brand oyster sauce and everything, and I was like, I need like this specific one, you know. It's like, and like, you have to use it. Bringing shrimp paste was a huge like back and forth. They wouldn't let me because they're like, it's not shelf stable, but like, I promise you it is. It's just gonna smell really bad. And I'm okay with it. I was just like,
my sabotage.
My boxes smell like shrimp. It doesn't matter to me.
I want to be on that like email thread of just you going back and forth with like Top Chef execs being like, no, actually, like it is.
It's a little stinky, but it's just going to make it so no one else wants to go into the bin room. And therefore,
like, I was like, there's like dry shrimp paste and then there's wet shrimp paste. And I was like,
I just need weird flavors.
Speaking of your castmates, I mean, you had kind of one of the most iconic moments of the season when you had a lot of your mise en place thrown away. And that was, as a viewer, devastating. It harkened back to the days of the stolen pea puree in early seasons of Top Chef. But you really recovered from that so quickly. And you were able, like you just said, you're like, okay, everyone give me a second to think. You had this beautiful moment of meditation. And so I'm curious, you know, how do you handle situations like that in the real world versus Top Chef? And do situations like that ever really organically arise in your day job?
Yeah. I mean, like, shit gets thrown away. I still remember one time we were doing a dinner and I made all these mushroom terrines that like I pankoed and like breaded and fried. And like, you know, it took me hours to make all this and like another couple of hours just to set. And someone bumped into it and the whole tray just went flying to the floor. And now it's just like a mess, you know, and then they're just like, and then like, and so like things like that do happen in real life. You know, I was like, I didn't think my teammate was going to throw away my career or anything. I was like, what? But in real life, you know, I have more mushrooms, you know, I was like, fine, I can't make the terrine, you know, but I could do something else really quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, like food might go out a little, might take a little longer to go out. I was like, but food will go out. On the show, I was just like, well, what do I have left? Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, what do I have left over? You know, I have, they didn't show her, but, you know, Katia gave me her tofu. I was like, so I had some like firm tofu left, you know, I was like, I had some pickling juice left over. And the main part of it was that I only had my beef, which like wasn't the way I wanted to present it or anything. I was like, but it's all I had. So I was just like, I just need to plate something. Yeah. I'm not going to go down, going up there, not putting anything on a goddamn plate, you know? My life, I mean, I'm not, people think I'm very, like, very calm, you know? I was like, but, like, my head just processes things so quickly in my head. I was like, all right, let's go. I was like, we can't just do it. I was like, see what happens.
And so that's pretty much a stunning moment of clarity and conviction. And mm-hmm. I think that all of the viewers really, A, felt for you in that moment, but were incredibly impressed with the turnaround that you managed to, you know, get.
I think I'd be like decidedly less chill about it, but I also
oh my god, I cried so much.
I love that too.
I'll give you like, if you rewatch it again, there's a scene where I walk up from the basement and I start putting on my apron, I was like, I was bawling my eyes. It was after I went up to the judge's table. My whole thing was that the show must go on, you know? I was like, I'm going to put food up. Yeah. I was like, so that was my number one goal. I was like, I'm going to put food up. I don't know what it is right now, but who's going to go up there? And then I'm going to go cry privately in the bathroom and then come back up here.
Dude, shout out to crying in a bathroom. I think you haven't really lived until you have. So
yeah, we've all had bad days at work.
true that.
But so speaking of interactions with your castmates, something that we hear a lot about with people who go on Top Chef is just the experience of being part of a cast. And so is there something that you learn from your castmates, or either when it comes to technical cooking or something about restaurants or just something in life that you've really taken away from the experience?
Yeah, apparently hide my mise en place.
Lock and key.
Yeah, I was
Oh my God.
You know, it's strange to be around people. I surround myself with a lot of creative people and talented people. I was like, but being on that show, the amount of talent that these people had, like, just really pushed myself too. You know, I wanted to do the best for myself. I wanted to be challenging for them to even move forward. I was like, and so it was just like, it pushed my boundaries. I was like, and even leaving the show, I was like, I was excited. Like, what else can I do? You know, I was like, we do a lot of creative things here in the restaurant and everything, but at the end of the day, you know, we need to pay the bills and all that stuff. I was like, and so there's a certain level of creativity that we could do, but just being on the show and just concentrating on cooking really just put more excitement into my day to day, and being around those people who were just equally as excited was very exhilarating.
Absolutely. And now that you're out of the show, you know, it sounds like you had this sort of like renewed inspiration and you got time to breathe. Has that changed what you're cooking or what you're making in the restaurant? Has it given you a moment to reevaluate?
Yeah, always. Every day, I'm just like, we got to do better. You know, I was just like, every day, like, I think the people who work for our restaurant and everything, I was like, they care so much about everything we do here that makes my life so much easier. And they're so used to me and Evelyn just changing things up, pivoting things. And I'm always asking them, like, is this working for you? I was like, I'm not doing it day to day. I was like, how are you like taking all this? You know, is this workflow working for you? Is this the timeline working for you? And we pivot with those, you know, I was like, because people learn differently. People train differently. People see things differently, you know? And so I just try to figure out where I can best utilize everyone.
Yeah. And in terms of that, like, you guys have you have one very successful restaurant and then your catering business. Mm-hmm. What is the memory or experience that you want people to leave having had when they've eaten your food or experienced your hospitality?
That they just made a best friend and they never had in the last like hour and 45 minutes. And like, you walk in here feeling like you've been a part of this restaurant for so long, you know, and that really comes across with our the service that we provide, the food that we provide, the stories. I mean, we're here day in day, and I think it's really funny that when people walk in here, they're just like, "Oh my God, you're here!" I'm like, "Yeah." I was like, "It's big money. I didn't need to feed myself." and so I talked to them the way like I talked to you guys and everything. I was just like, "They're like, you know, we've been friends. You know, I was like, we could talk, we could chit chat. I was like, I'm not gonna." We don't give you that like cookie cutter service here. You know, I was like, there's not like a step one. You walk in here, you know, you say this step two, like, no, like, you know, if they're having a shitty day, ask them. I was like, let us make your day a lot better.
That's so nice. And it's really interesting to hear both in Top Chef. It's really painted a picture of like hospitality as an element in dining. And those are two things that are so closely related, but, you know, really capitalize on different experiences. And it's really interesting whenever we talk to anyone, you know, we hear people really thinking about that experience of eating at someone's restaurant. And so we have to congratulate you because you and Evelyn were nominated this year or semifinalists for James Beard Awards for Best Chef Texas. Yeah. Ooh, got a lot of Top Chef alums on that list this year, which we love to see. But, you know, what do these types of awards or recognition, I mean, both you and Evelyn now have become sort of public figures through being on Top Chef. You have this great accolade of being part of James Beard. What role do those play in your aspirations as an individual chef and for your team?
We just strive to do better. You know, I was like, we are always, and it starts with internally first. You know, I was like, we try to do better for ourselves. And then if we like it, and then we try to convey it to other people. You know, it's like, there are going to be people that are going to hate on us. You know, I was like, there are people that love us. You know, we're either the worst thing they've ever had in their life or the best thing they've had. And it's okay. I was like, we understand that, like, we can't please everyone. But I always ask our staff, you know, did we do our best? You know, like, did we do everything? And I was like, and, you know, when we didn't make it to the final list or when we didn't get the Michelin and everything, you know, the staff was really disappointing. And I was like, these accolades and awards are amazing. I was like, but it's a stepping stone for us. You know, now our name's been thrown out there. You know, people are talking about us. And so now we need to make an imprint, you know, in a different way. I was like, and improve what we need to do first, you know, and like, we appreciate like all the accolades and the write-ups and all that stuff. I was like, but more importantly for us, we do it for ourselves first, before anything else.
That's incredible. And so what is next for you, either as an individual or for June and or you and Evelyn? You guys joke about being married, so I imagine you plan on being together forever. What do you have on the horizon?
I'm trying to be a superstar. just keeping the dream alive. And that's what we say to each other every day. We're just keeping the dream alive, opening up restaurants, creating more cool experiences, you know, doing more TV stuff. I was like, that I wasn't particularly enjoying that much. I heard I had a really good voice and I was just like, all right, well, I was like, let me do more talking things that and everything. I was like, yeah, I'll read a story for you and stuff like that. We're very open. We're both very open, you know, and we're very involved with our local community. You know, our dinner that we're doing this week, we do it with Planet Forward. It's a not-for-profit organization here that give lands to refugees, and they're allowed to plant things and then grow things and then sell it at farmers markets and everything. And so we're really diving into the community aspect of this all. You know, like you said, like, you know, we've been on TV now, and we have like people eyes are on us, and so we were trying to create a better platform from us in our community.
It's incredible. What I have been most astounded by in embarking on this podcast as a personal project is just how philanthropic the hospitality world is and how deeply the chefs we speak to and the behind the scenes people we speak to seem to really have an appreciation for those who got them there. Can you talk a little bit more about how you see your role in Houston and the way you want to engage with your community?
Yeah, this is cooking. When I was becoming a line cook and everything, this has always been a passion project. You know, I was like, you don't go in for the money. If you're going in for the money, then you effed up. Like, go work out. And I am not shitting on anyone. I love Chipotle. I love McDonald's. go to work for like something in corporate America. You know, so you get a paycheck, you get health care and all that stuff. I was like, but working for a chef-driven concept, like, it's hard. I was like, you know, it's hard. They ask a lot of you, but it's rewarding. You know, I was like, and it's a passion of ours. I was like, I've always done this because it's a passion of mine. My whole life, I just pursued a life of passion. You know, I studied arts. I went to culinary school. And now I'm working in an industry fueled by passionate people, which is why I always say chefs are the most angry people in the world too. You know, I was like, food's my medium, you know, I was like, my plate's my canvas, and I was like, and I like to paint a picture and all that stuff. And so we take all that, and then now, you know, we're trying to move forward and create a different platform for a lot of people. So even like what I was doing right now, I was like, Houston opened their arms to me. You know, I'm an outsider, I'm a New Yorker. Born and raised in New York City and everything, I came down here and they're just like, who are you? You know, I was like, oh, you're with Evelyn. And they're like, you know what? We like you too. And I was like, yeah, thank you. You know, I was like, and then And so, and like, you know, we were popping up. We haven't had a restaurant yet, you know, and people were just like, no, just come to my space, use it. Come to my juice bar. Oh yeah, you could pop up there. And we're like, cool, you know? And so now we have the space. I was like, and we never had a daytime operation. We were just dinner service. And recently in the last 2 weeks, we opened up our daytime operation. We're calling it Third Place as a community driven project where we don't do a lunch program, but we invite chefs to pop up and do residencies here. And so we're giving them a space to have to be able to cook their food. You know, like right now, Chef Sue is in the kitchen making congee, you know, bowls of congee and everything. I was like, and like, you know, so she doesn't have to pop up, you know, in the heat of the summer. I was like, we have a space here. We have a platform and we want to showcase, you know, Chef Sue and stuff like that.
I love it. Well, we'll add it to the porridge counter for season 22. Congee porridge. We have been seeing a lot of it. So I don't know if it counts if we mention it in an interview in a second helping. Kanji is delicious. I agree. But you know, we're seeing a greater frequency of kanji these days. But anyway, Henry, it is such a pleasure to get to know you, to see you on our screens. If there's anything, I mean, you talked a lot about what you guys are doing, but if there's anything else you want to promote, please let the people know how to find you and where you want them to find you.
Yeah, for sure. Check out my Instagram. Check out our website. My Instagram is Chef Henry Liu. Our website at junehcx.com. It has all the information. And to keep up to date, you know, we're doing a lot of different things. We do a lot of pop-ups around town still. We're even doing a lot of collaborative dinners. Chef Cesar is coming down this Wednesday. Yeah, I know.
The one of prince?
Yes. Yeah, and so we're super excited. You know, we love putting these kind of events on for Houston and stuff like that.
Well, thank you for all that you do on our screens for the city of Houston and for your diners. And well, we hope to see you soon. We're excited about what's to come.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Bye.
Bye.